From the time I was a young child, I remember sitting around a table with my family for a meal, holding hands and saying a prayer before we ate. The prayer was always one of gratitude, thanking God for our day, for being together, and for the food we were about to eat. And for many, many years, that is exactly how I said grace before eating. I'd look around, take stock of what was in front of me, and give thanks for it. My rhythm and reason for praying before meals changed about 5 years ago when I heard someone offer a prayer before a large community meal that began in gratitude to people and things that were not in front of us at that particular moment. The prayer went something like this. Thank you, God, for the seeds and the soil that grow our crops, for the sun and rain that nurture them. Thank you for the laborers and farmers that tend to the fields and the plants. Thank you for the workers in the warehouses who process the crops and turn it into food. Thank you for the truck drivers that transport the food from warehouses to stores. Thank you for the grocery store clerks who stocked and sold us this food. Thank you for the folks in the kitchen who cooked and prepared this meal and the volunteers that served it. Thank you for every single part of this meal before us. May you bless every person who helped make it possible for us to eat today, and may you bless each of us as we eat together. Amen. Now, ever since I heard that prayer, the blessing I offer before meals has changed. I try to bring forward the people and elements that made the meal possible, even if they aren't in the same room at the moment. It's a small way of reminding me that my part is just one part of something much larger than myself. And somehow, ever since expanding my prayer and my perspective of where my meal came from, I swear food has tasted better. The flavors are richer, the textures are more complex, and it feels like I better understand the phrase soul food. So much of what we consider work or labor is invisible. There are always complicated processes that take place when we receive a product or experience the end result. Unless it is our own work, we do not spend much time and thought about all the steps that took place to put something in front of us, or the steps someone took in their work before they reached us. So, for example, when we hire an electrician to install a new light, we mostly notice whether or not the new light works after they are done. We don't spend time thinking about the tools that they used, or the problem solving they engaged, or the study and practice they put in years before they reached our home that day. And we don't take much notice of the apprentice they had with them, how part of their work is teaching others and passing on the skills of their trade, how the job we hired them for played a tiny role in the formation of a new electrician, how perhaps the time spent talking and teaching the apprentice is even more important than completing the job in the quickest amount of time possible. When we do take into account all these different elements, we might end up with more appreciation and gratitude for this new light and what went into installing it. We could do this exercise over and over again for every object we see around us and for every person we interact with in work, be it the physicians who treat us or the delivery guy who brings our pizza. When we are strictly consumers, most of the work that happens for us and around us is invisible and is only relevant so much as it impacts us personally. Whenever we hear about something that is upsetting, whether it's worker exploitation or an unethical company, Our first response is often, I didn't know. I had no idea. In order for corruption and exploitation to occur, companies count on us not knowing or not paying attention or not persevering to discover what lies beyond our limited perspective. There is always more happening than we can possibly take in at any one time. What we read in the Gospel of Luke today reminds us that perhaps we should continue to try to bring forth the invisible as an act of humility and a reminder that there are things at play that are bigger than we can see or understand. Jesus's parable reminds us that when we try to approach our work and the work of the people around us with humility, it will be a blessing for all. When Jesus tells the story about which seat at the table to take when you arrive at a wedding banquet, he is making visible what we previously couldn't see. So often we place ourselves in the center, our needs, our relationships, our reality. When we assume we are the most important person or the one with the greatest needs, we risk making a fool of ourselves. But we already know this lesson, don't we? It's what we teach our children when we say, we have to wait because there are other people in line in front of us. Or when we ask them, how do you think your brother felt after you hit him? From the time we're young, we are widening our perspective and learning how to take into account the needs, feelings, and perspectives of other people. This is a lesson we spend our whole life trying to embody in our actions, our words, our thoughts, our decisions. Jesus doesn't tell this parable because it's some revolutionary new idea. He tells it because we need reminding over and over again, and because there's always an opportunity to go deeper. It's a core part of being human. We are going to act selfish at times. We can claim to give that up, but very few people seem capable of it altogether. But even as we struggle with our ego and impulses, Jesus is reminding us that we have opportunities to try again, this time with more humility. When we do tap into that humility, the payoff isn't that one day we'll be rewarded by being the center of the banquet or the center of attention. The reward is the transformation that humility offers. To go back to the ritual of blessing our meals before we eat, yes, of course, that's a good thing to do. And naming all that is in front of you, the people and the food in gratitude, is better than not doing that at all. But expanding it, digging deeper into the people that played a part and the elements of nature that worked together to make that meal happen. To center yourself in the complex web of life. That act of holding the invisible and visible together is one that transforms us. It is one that leads us to wonder, to awe. It leads us to understanding that those original things in front of us, the meal and the people, are even more sacred because of all that conspired to lead them there. Whether we are the guest or the host, the one in charge or the one being served, Jesus calls us to move beyond thinking about our own needs. This message is so important on Labor Day weekend. We know that one of the ways we most regularly compromise our values is the way that we ignore the rights of all workers. How many of us can say, and I know that we are a very socially conscious congregation, how many of us can say we've completely divested from all exploitative companies? How many of us can say we only buy local produce and meat, and we make our own crackers and pasta, and we never go out to eat, and we never buy single-use plastics, and are not reliant on the global food system? We might not ever achieve perfection, but we are called to greater awareness and attentiveness to those people and situations that we would normally ignore or remain ignorant about. When we consider how we spend our money or who we do business with, consider the people behind the products. Consider the workers behind the business owners. And consider who and what is being impacted by our purchases. And no matter what, approach it with gratitude and humility. May we allow this act of diving into our connectivity and interdependence on others to become a meditation that deepens our connections to our neighbors, to other countries, and to all of creation. May this Labor Day we be reminded that we are one small part of a larger workforce, and that the skills, time, and labor of countless people made it possible for us to even get up in the morning, have breakfast, ride in a car on a rainy day, and be together in community. May our prayers be ones of gratitude, not just for what is in front of us, but all of which surrounds us. Amen.